And now we have the second installment of our two-part series on the insanity defense. As you heard in our first part, most states in the U.S. have a traditional insanity defense, but four don't, including three right here in the Mountain West. And a Supreme Court case could change that. Madeline Beck looks at how the issue is playing out in our region.
Utah Representative Carol Spackman Moss is on a mission. She wants to get the insanity defense back in her state.
Presented a bill last session. The Judiciary Committee thought it was such a big idea and a big change that we should have further study, so we're preparing another bill for this session.
For Moss, it's personal. A man who grew up on her street in Holiday, Utah, murdered his parents. Moss knew Robert Lydiard and his family well, including Robert's struggles with mental illness. He worked as a nurse, but had stopped taking the medications that controlled his mental illnesses, including schizophrenia and bipolar disorders.
And on a Saturday morning, he killed his parents and called his sister and said, "I had to kill Mom and Dad because Satan was in them."
After the murders, he was sent to jail to await his trial.
His delusions were worse. He wasn't given his regular medication. He was diabetic, didn't have an insulin pump that worked, and he became catatonic. They had him in solitary, and he was dying.
So he was moved to a state hospital, where he's now waiting to be deemed competent enough to stand trial. Utah, Idaho, Montana, and Kansas are the only four states without a traditional insanity defense. If a defendant knowingly kills a person there, even if they're psychotic at the time, they can't be found not guilty by reason of insanity. However, the judge can take their mental illness into account during sentencing. Mark Moffitt is on Moss's committee looking into bringing back the insanity defense to the state.
And we are in the process now of redrafting some legislation.
Moffitt is a criminal defense attorney. He says in some states, people can plead guilty and mentally ill. They may serve some time in a hospital, but once they reach a certain point in treatment, they can be sent back to prison. Moffitt wants to change that.
Is it good criminal justice policy to punish people for crimes that they commit when they are incapable of discerning the difference between right and wrong?
He doesn't think so. Neither do the lawyers representing a Kansas defendant accused of murdering his ex-wife, two daughters, and mother-in-law. His case is the one before the Supreme Court. If justices rule against the state and in his favor, they could set a baseline insanity defense that every state has to have. Idaho's attorney general isn't happy about that. And at least one of the state's hospital administrators is concerned about how an insanity defense would be applied.
For those who might have received a long sentence based on the nature of the crime, how long would they be required to stay in a hospital?
I meet up with James Price at the State Hospital South in Blackfoot, Idaho. Price tells me about a third of the 90 or so adult patients are waiting to be found competent to stand trial. He takes me to one of the hospital wings. On the outside, it's pretty nondescript. Inside, there's a fish tank up against the blue cinder block wall and festive fall decorations. A nursing station sits at the front, and male and female patients are wandering around.
Probably 90% or more of the patients who are committed in a criminal case are restored to fitness, and so they end up returning back to jail to proceed with their criminal case.
But Price wants to make a point. His hospital isn't a prison. Criminally committed patients there are treated like civilly committed patients, which means they aren't usually locked in their rooms.
If we use seclusion and restraint, it has to be on a very limited basis, only to address a particular incident, and can only last for as long as needed to make the environment safe.
So he says if the law changes, they may have to treat more patients in dangerously ill states. While that's often temporary, he worries it could put staff and other patients at risk. He's also concerned about having the room.
We've always had a waiting list, and we give those who are committed in the criminal cases highest priority for admission.
Whether he has to deal with any of these concerns largely comes down to that Supreme Court case. It's expected to make its decision by early summer at the latest. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.